You're listening to Evil, a true crime podcast. Join me each week as I bring you real people, real stories, real crimes, and the evil they encountered. Hi guys, welcome back. Today is Sunday and I am recording live from the inside of my closet. Sorry that this episode is being dropped so late in the week. I am trying to get on a more consistent schedule. I think I want to drop episodes either on Wednesday or Thursday, somewhere in those 2 days. So that was actually my intention. I had this episode already written out. And my intention was to record and drop it by Wednesday, but I just had a super busy work week and it made it kind of hard to record this episode. And it's going to be me this week just by myself. If you didn't know, who was my co-host last week is my son. He's in high school and he probably will be on more episodes just whenever he wants to. I just thought it was kind of fun to have him on and get his input and insight and just his thoughts. So this week I'm going to be bringing you the case of Alexandria Allie, as I'm going to be referring to her, Costiel. And I have actually never heard of her case up until last week. I think I was watching Hulu and it was on like the New York Post reports or something like that. And it was just like a 30-minute clip, but I hadn't heard of it. So obviously it piqued my interest and I decided to do a little bit more of a deep dive on it. So without further ado, this is a case of Alexandria Allie Costiel. Alexandria Allie Madison Costiel was born September 11, 1997 in St. Louis. Growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, she always dreamed of attending the University of Mississippi, also known as Ole Miss. As a child and teen, she was fairly active. Allie was a cheerleader, a track runner, and a member of the Honor Society, who was known as always being so positive. She graduated from Lindbergh High School in 2016. She was adventurous, volunteering to teach English to young children in Africa and Peru. She also had a sunset Instagram account where she'd post pictures that she took of sunsets. And the actual account is still up. If you guys want to look it up, it's Sunsets by Allie. And her Instagram account, the tagline says, "Wow, look at the sunsets. Me." And like, tell me if that's not the most relatable. To me, that resonated a lot because I am a lover of sunsets. So, of course, I had to go take a look. And there's pictures that she took in Missouri, Mississippi, Fort Lauderdale. And you can just tell by taking a glance at her Instagram that she was one of those people that when she saw a beautiful sunset, she stopped what she was doing and had to go capture and take a picture. I don't know about you guys, but to me, that was super relatable because I am also one of those people that just enjoys a great sunset. And there's been multiple times that I've stopped what I was doing to go take a picture. So I just thought it was super relatable. It just humanized her more as a person. Allie radiated love and light and compassion to all those around her. She loved animals. She was a beloved babysitter, lifeguard, yoga enthusiast, and an accomplished half marathon runner. She was preppy, very girly. She liked pearls. Allie was bubbly. And she was lovingly remembered by her friends as a ray of sunshine. And like, how fucking sweet is that? I hope if anything ever happens to me, I hope that's how like some of my friends remember me as, because like, how sweet. So I think that just goes to show, and that says a lot about who she was as a person. And Allie wasn't just beautiful on the inside, she was beautiful on the outside as well. She was a small, petite girl. She had long blonde hair with this big, bright, warm smile that just drew you in. And she had these blue-green eyes. And I saw a picture of Allie and her mother, and in my opinion, Allie and her mom have the same eyes. Allie's mom, Cindy, stated that Allie thought Ole Miss would be the perfect backdrop to meet a companion for life. She wanted to meet a Southern boy and get married and have children one day. She was studying marketing and hoped to work in the fashion industry after graduation. Cindy finally remembers Allie's love of flowers from a young age. She loved all the flowers around the campus of Ole Miss. Allie was set to graduate in spring of 2020. And you remember how I told you guys how when she was younger, she was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities? Well, that didn't change. Allie was the founding member of the Alpha Phi sorority. She was president of the school's golf club, and she was the yoga and Pilates instructor. So homegirl was booked and busy, and like, yes, girl, get your bag, Allie. In the early morning hours of July 20th, 2019, Allie's remains were discovered at an abandoned fishing camp by a Lafayette County deputy near Sardis Lake. Allie was found laying on the ground with multiple gunshot wounds to her back. And when they say multiple, they're not kidding. I mean multiple gunshot wounds. As I was researching her case, the reports that I read said she had been shot anywhere from 9 to 12 times. But most of the reports that I'd read indicated that she had been shot at least 9 times. So keep that in mind. Allie's purse was found on the side of the road with her school ID and her driver's license still inside. Jared Burden, the county investigator, said, "I have not worked a murder where somebody had been shot that many times." Allie's mom said she and her husband Keith had visited Allie in Oxford earlier that week, and Cindy talked with Allie on the phone that evening around 7 p.m. on July 19, 2019. The conversation was rather casual, and Cindy said her and Allie just spoke about possibly getting Allie some new decor for her bathroom, and Allie had stated that she was going to go ahead and get ready as she was going to go out with a couple of friends for a night out. Allie was last seen on Friday, July 19, 2019 at 11:52 p.m. She was last seen on surveillance video leaving a bar in Oxford Square. And the footage shows Allie outside of the bar and she's on her phone. It looks like she's texting somebody and it almost looks like she could possibly be waiting for someone. She's wearing a white top and blue shorts, and Allie does seem to be intoxicated just because she seems to be stumbling a little bit as she's walking. Investigators say she got in an Uber and went home alone. Now, her roommates report that she did make it back to her place safely and she was by herself. So now authorities are wondering, who would want to hurt Allie and why? Once Allie's identity was confirmed, authorities immediately started calling her friends to ask about possible suspects. They wanted to know if anyone had issues with Allie. The name Brandon kept coming up. So who the fuck is Brandon? In the fall of 2016, Allie met Brandon Thiesfield from Fort Worth, Texas. He was also a student at the University of Ole Miss. Allie's friends say Allie and Brandon had an off and on romantic relationship, but were never officially boyfriend and girlfriend. So I guess they were just basically kind of like hooking up, talking, but they were never anything official. Allie fell hard for Brandon during freshman year. In sophomore year, Brandon got tired of Allie texting him late at night. You know how girls do when we go out, get a little drinks on us, do a little drunk texting. So he got tired of her doing that, so he blocked her. But by junior year, something had shifted and they had reconnected again. As for dating in college, Cindy recalled Allie saying she met someone during her freshman year. As for dating in college, Cindy recalled Allie saying she met someone during her freshman year. Cindy said, she said, "I met this boy. He's from Texas. She, for whatever reason, loves the state of Texas. And she was real excited to invite him to a sorority dance. That's the boy she really liked. Allie's attachment confused some of her friends who say he treated her poorly. He'd say hurtful and degrading things. Tony Farsi, Brandon's attorney, said, "She liked him more than he liked her. It's the easiest way to say it." From Brandon's standpoint, it was a casual sexual relationship. Allie's friend, Morgan Hall, said, "They were never boyfriend and girlfriend. They didn't go on dates. Like, he didn't pick her up or take her out to dinner, none of that. But he would tell her he wasn't good enough for her, and that's why they couldn't be together." Like, come on, can we please stop fucking doing this? Like, this guy is already giving me, like, sports bro vibes, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but, like, can we just cut the bullshit here? Like, let's just be clear and to the fucking point. Men, please, not even, like, just people in general, can we just be clear and concise and straight to the point with what our intentions are? Like, let's stop leading people on, let's stop making them think that we are into something or we want more of a relationship than what we actually want with people. Can we just be clear about it? Like, if that's all they want, if that's all you want is just to hook up with her, just say that. But don't, like, gaslight her into thinking that the reason that you guys are not together is because you aren't good enough, when in reality is you don't want to be with her. You just want to hook up. Can we please stop fucking doing that shit? It's ridiculous. Let's grow up. Ugh. Rex Ravita, a former dorm neighbor and student, described Brandon as misogynistic and arrogant, saying, "I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He was pretty much a daddy's boy type. Constantly had to reference his father's money, how his dad could get him out of anything. Just that attitude all the time. Any type of vulgar comment he could say, any type of rude comment to anybody in our dorm, any of the women, he would say it." Like, ew, just gross already. Like, it's giving off super entitled, just arrogant. I'm not here for it. Not fucking here for it at all. In the summer of 2019, Allie stayed behind in Oxford to take classes. But school exams were not her main concern. On April 12, 2019, according to the prosecutor's evidence that was read in court, Allie told Brandon she might be pregnant. 2 days later, she sent him a photo of an inconclusive home pregnancy test saying she wanted to talk. Brandon replied that becoming a father at his age of 22 would ruin his life, Miletta said in court. Evidence shows he searched the internet for abortion services and abortion pills. Yes, I'm going to address this right here. I don't care. I'm going to get on my soapbox and my rant for a second. But men, can we please stop trying to tell women what the fuck to do with their bodies? Fucking stop it. Cut it the fuck out. It is not your fucking choice. It is not your decision what a woman wants to do with her fucking body. If she wanted to carry that fucking baby, she should be able to. The fact that this man is not even taking into account her wants, her needs, her feelings, and it's just all about him. It's just fucking beyond me. Like, why? 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 I just don't fucking understand. I don't get it. Over the next 3 months, their communication was exclusively electronic. Allie wanted to meet with Brandon in person to discuss what to do. On July 12th, Brandon told Allie that there was no need to meet, and he traveled from Oxford to his father's home in Texas to retrieve his dad's .40 caliber Glock 22. He posted a picture of it on social media with the caption, "Finally taking my baby back to Oxford." He'd searched the internet for silencers and how serial killer Ted Bundy lured his victims. Like, again, Brandon, you're fucking gross. Like, huh. On July 16th, 2019, Brandon returned to Oxford where he searched online for hollow point ammo and tactical face masks. Allie's friends say Brandon would mostly ignore Allie's text, but when he did reply, he was clear and concise about his decision. He did not want a child and wanted Allie to terminate the pregnancy. And so I actually have a couple of the conversations, or like the screenshots from the text messages between him and Allie. So I'm going to go ahead and just read what he said to her. And he texted her and said, It's so early. You just take a pill, not keeping it at all. I don't want a kid at all. I am serious. No kid at all. It will ruin my life. I will not help at all. Not to be mean, but this is how I feel, and I am not changing my mind. Like, it's not about you, fucking Brandon. It's not all about you, you fucking piece of shit. Like, that's what infuriates me. I'm not helping at all. Like, literally, piss the fuck off. Go fucking, ugh. This man is just makes me want to punch him in his fucking balls. He infuriates me. So, Allie texted back, and she said, I'm not saying what I'm gonna do because I don't know what's happening. But even if you don't want to be involved, like, I am really pretty and sweet and I know I will meet a real man one day. And, like, that's so fucking heartbreaking because it's like she's trying to, like, just kind of, like, boost herself up, I guess. Like, you know, like, trying to, like, boost her worth up. Basically trying to tell herself, like, you know what, that's fine. Like, if you don't want to, like, be there for me or be there for, like, this possible baby, then that's fine because I have these great qualities to myself. I'm real. Not only am I really pretty, but I'm a great person. And if you don't want to be with me or take care of this child, then I can find somebody else who will. And, like, it's just heartbreaking, man. Like, we have to fucking do better. Men, do fucking better, please. I am begging. When investigators got a hold of Brandon on Sunday afternoon and asked to speak to him about Allie, they say he made up excuses not to come in, but assured them that he would meet them on Monday at 8:30 a.m. On Monday, July 22nd, 2019, after Brandon failed to show up at the police station, investigators obtained an arrest affidavit under exigent circumstances and started tracking his phone. The data revealed Brandon was driving away from Oxford and towards Memphis, Tennessee. Authorities released a BOLO, which, if you don't know, a BOLO stands for Be on the Lookout for Brandon's Vehicle. His pickup truck would be easy to find. You guys. Okay. His license plate had the phrase, take it. Now, if that is not the most douchiest, douchebag, sports bro, like, makes me want to vomit in my throat type of fucking license plate you've ever heard. Like, ugh, I just don't like this dude. 2 hours later, the Memphis Police Department's Fugitive Task Force arrested Brandon without incident at a gas station. Jarrett Bundon, the lead investigator, said, he was calm, you know, read him his rights. He invoked his rights, wanted his attorney. He was picked up in Tennessee. We asked him if he would sign a waiver of extradition, come back to Mississippi, and he signed it. We brought him back. A .40 caliber gun matching the kind that was used in Allie's murder was found inside the truck. Like, seriously, bro, this is like an episode of The World's Dumbest Criminals. He is so fucking stupid. According to prosecutors, on July 20th, 2019, at around 1:28 a.m., Brandon picked up Allie from her apartment and they drove together to an abandoned fishing camp at Sardis Lake. The drive to the location where Brandon took Allie was dark and desolate, and it took about 45 minutes to get there from Oxford. According to the grand jury report, someone in the area reported hearing gunshots while walking their dog sometime between 2:15 and 2:30 a.m. Prosecutors say Allie was shot at least 9 times. According to the grand jury report, there was 11 shell casings at the crime scene. Defense attorney Anthony Farsi says one of the shots Brandon fired was towards the lake. It was later revealed she was not pregnant. So, this motherfucker literally killed her for no fucking reason, just because he thought that she was pregnant, and she wasn't even fucking pregnant. Like, I just have no fucking words, honestly. It's just so tragic and so selfish. So goddamn selfish. Evidence presented to a grand jury included a letter Brandon wrote on the weekend of Allie's murder. It was discovered in his apartment. In the letter, Brandon wrote, I've always had terrible thoughts. Those thoughts have been fueled by cocaine and alcohol. He continues, I think this is the end for me. I'm either going to prison or going to die. I'm sorry, I don't feel sorry for this guy. Because all I hear in this letter and all I see from his actions, of his text and everything, is just a fucking entitled ass douchebag. He's so entitled. Everything in that letter is me, 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 me. And it's just like, get fucking real. You took somebody's life for no reason, and all you can think about is yourself. It's disgusting. I hate this kid. To Allie's parents, it was no excuse. He shot her several times. She hurt and she bled, and he left her, Keith Costell told the courts. Few people in life will ever feel the pain that we have experienced, and it will never go away. On August 30th, 2019, a grand jury indicted Brandon on capital murder charges. He pled not guilty. The trial was delayed by a COVID-19 pandemic. But on August 27th, 2021, Brandon changed his mind and he pled guilty to the first-degree murder charge. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Brandon will serve his life sentence at the Mississippi State Penitentiary, known as Parkman. At his sentencing, Brandon appeared to get emotional as he apologized to both Allie's family and his own. Though he didn't say why he killed her, he said, quote, I am sincerely sorry for the pain I've caused while taking Allie from you. Our lives have been forever altered and shattered, Cindy said in a statement. Her absence haunts us every day. Allie's family and friends continue to honor her memory. They say Allie's love for sunsets will forever remind them of her bright spirits. In her obituary, they asked that in honor of Allie, take a moment to appreciate the natural beauty of a sunset or a flower like she did every day. As for me, I think that I will be thinking of Allie the next time I see a sunset. Something about that just really resonated with me. And I think it's something so beautiful about her parents, you know, asking in her obituary that she be remembered by, you know, asking people to take the time to smell a flower or to look at a sunset. And it just speaks to the type of person that she was. So, like I said, this was the case of Allie Costell. And I will catch you in the next episode. Bye, guys. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at evilpodcast88. We're also on TikTok at evilpodcast, and we're on Twitter at evilpodcast88. Don't forget to comment, like, share, give us a rating. That's how the podcast grows. And until next time, guys, thanks for listening.